Today with Joseph Prince.
We who believe on Christ, that Christ is our Savior, He took our sins on the cross, we have passed from judgment unto life. I say it's the grace of God that is teaching. We teach grace and grace will teach people.
Pain, a negative doctor's report, anxieties, and even depression. You or someone you love may be facing one of these common enemies right now. But here's wonderful news. Healing doesn't have to be hard.
God designed the communion to bring healing to your body. That is why I want to send you this easy-to-read resource completely free. It will encourage you, recharge your faith, and be a great blessing to you.
In his breakthrough book, Eating Your Way to Wholeness, a practical guide to the Holy Communion, you can receive the reality that the Holy Communion is far more than a ritual.
We have received many praise reports from believers around the world who have experienced the healing power of the communion. I really want that for you too. Make sure you request this resource today.
Call or click right now to request your free copy of Pastor Prince's Eating Your Way to Wholeness, a practical guide to the Holy Communion.
Hallelujah. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Our God is a good God. Yes. Amen. And it's wonderful to see God's people come together on a Sunday. I always tell Justin, what day is it tomorrow? On Saturday, he will say, Sunday. And Sunday is the greatest day of the week. Amen. The greatest day of the week because we worship the Lord on that day. Amen. And every time we come together, something powerful happens. The gifts of the Spirit flow. Amen? The gifts of the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, the gift of faith, working of miracles, the gifts of healings, the gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, and just flows like a river. All right? God may choose this particular service to manifest one gift or another gift. Even the gifts of healings is plural, gifts of healings. And you don't have to wait for someone to pray for you. As the word goes forth, God's Spirit is here, especially in a corporate anointing, it's so easy to be healed. Amen. All right? It's so easy to receive. So don't switch off your expectant, receptive heart. Don't switch it off and feel like it's not prayer time. Okay, prayer time, I'll switch it on again. No, anytime the word goes forth, be always ready to receive. Amen? Amen? Praise God. You know, the Bible calls it perilous times. We are living in dangerous times. That's the way the Word of God puts it. That in the last days, and he mentioned this, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Dangerous times. In the King James, perilous times. We are living in those times. Amen. We are living in dangerous times. Jesus said, right after he visited the temple, in both the Gospel of Matthew, you find this, and the Gospel of Mark and Luke, you find that Jesus saw the beautiful temple structure, and the disciples around him said, Lord, look at these stones, magnificent stones. And then Jesus says, behold, I say to you that not one stone will be left unturned. They'll all be thrown down. So they heard what he said, and then quietly, as he went down the valley Kidron, went up the other side, the Mount of Olives, Jesus sat down, and Peter, James, John, and Andrew, four of them, came to Jesus and says, Lord, these things that you talk about, when will these things be? And Jesus says, let no one deceive you. Many will come saying, I am Christ, and will deceive many. For nation will rise against nation. Now, that word nation, if you look it up in the Greek, is ethnos against ethnos, ethnic groups against ethnic groups. It's almost like there's going to be an increase of racial tension. All right, one of the signs. Then he talked about great earthquakes. Now, great earthquakes is 6 and more on the Richter scale. But even in the time of Christ and following those years and all that, you hardly have great earthquakes. But in this past century alone, not only you have great earthquakes, you have every year a great earthquake happening somewhere. And then the past years, you have great earthquakes happening every few months somewhere in the world. So everything is like culminating to a point. Jesus says, you'll see these things increase. And then he said that Jerusalem will be under the foot of Gentiles. So from the time of Christ, Jerusalem was still standing and the stones were still there, not overturned yet. But in 40 years after he said that, AD 70, General Titus, the son of the emperor, marched in. He will soon be the next emperor. He marched into Jerusalem and he razed Jerusalem down to the ground and overturned all the stones of the temple. And since then, Jerusalem has been under the feet of Gentiles. Jesus said, until the times of Gentiles. So it's been 2,000 years. And in 1967, in the Six-Day War, Israel got back Jerusalem after a six-day war. Now, this is unparalleled in military history, except for one particular incident in the book of Joshua, where Israel went around the walls of Jericho 6 days. For 6 days, on the seventh day, Jericho was there. So God was repeating history. And Jesus says that Jerusalem will be under the feet of Gentiles. And since the Romans, Jerusalem has been under the feet of non-Jews all the way to the Mamluks. And then, we have the last one, Turkey. And then after that, the British. And then finally, Israel came back as a nation, 1948, 2,000 years. So these are the closing times. We know that. And the Bible says that Jesus also said in his discourse to his disciples that it'll be like the days of Noah. It'll be like the days of Lot, all right? And you know what it's like? Everyone did that, which is right in their own sight. People think they are becoming modern. They are going backwards, all right? Doing what is right in their own sight. It's no more a question of you win, I win. It's a question of you lose, I win. I'm out for myself, amen? People won't blush anymore at sin. It's okay if you are... Jesus says lawlessness will increase. It's no more that higher requirement, that moral qualification. Not holier than thou. Jesus doesn't have the holier than thou. Jesus' holiness is such that prostitutes could come to him, tax collectors could come to him, lepers could come to him, children could come to him, and they were never turned off. They were not repelled. There's something about him that's approachable, yet he's thrice holy. Amen? And Jesus opened the way for us in his death. When he died on the cross, the same blood that removed your sins tore the veil for you to step in. Amen. So now you can be in the presence of God without any sense of fear or worry. Amen. We don't have the spirit of bondage again to fear. We have a true, wholesome fear of the Lord in the right way as his sons. Amen. As his daughters. So think about this, that the fact that Jesus said not one stone will be left unturned. But over on the other side, in the camp in AD 70, General Titus, the son of the emperor, said to his soldiers, do not destroy the temple of Solomon. The temple of Solomon is known for its beauty. Sorry, it was a temple of Herod then, but it was built on the same side as temple of Solomon. And temple of Herod was known for its beauty. People came far and wide to see its beauty. In fact, when the sun sets, all right, and the sunset hits the temple, all the lights, the rays, it irradiates all around the beautiful rays, different hues of color. This is very beautiful to look at. The other day, my son was in my study and then he shouted, he said, look, Abba, look. I look outside. He says, God's glory. And the sun was setting. He calls it God's glory. And what happened was that General Titus, the son of the emperor, said to his soldiers, do not destroy the temple. But what happened is that when they started throwing the torches, flames and all that fire to raise Jerusalem, some of the torches went into the temple, okay? And as the fires raged on, the temple goal, the top of the temple goal, the pillars of Yakin and Boaz and all the other pillars, they had gold, girded gold and all that, all the gold started melting. And it went in between the cracks of the large stones. So the soldiers, Roman soldiers are very obedient, all right? And they take the commands well. But this particular incident, they forgot everything and they overturned the stone. The Son of God said, not one stone will be left. Amen? And the son of the emperor says, preserve the temple. Who is word one? Amen. Are you listening? All right, so you can trust Jesus when he says something about prophecy, it's going to happen. I'm not talking about the crazy, crazy stuff I mean, you see on YouTube and those things and all that. Yeah, there's end times here, end times. There are a lot of doom and gloom teaching. I'm talking about the accurate end time teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ based on the Bible, based on the scriptures, what Jesus talked about it. And then Jesus tells us that all these things will happen, but lift up your heads. Your redemption draws nigh. Now, what does that mean, your redemption draws nigh? He's saying your bodily redemption draws near. In other words, you're going to have your... Don't forget, we're not going to heaven, amen, floating on a cloud, playing a harp. You float through me, pass by me, and then we float through a tree, we float through a mansion. It's not like that. We'll have a body. The Bible says our bodies will be transformed like unto Jesus' glorious body. Can I have a good amen? So it is a bodily redemption that we're waiting for. And that's why the Bible, the scriptural attitude for the Christian is not to look forward to death. The scriptural attitude for the posture of the Christian is to look forward for the blessed appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, in Titus, it says very clearly in Titus, for the grace of God that has a for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. People say, Pastor Prince, you say grace is a person. Where do you get that from? From here. Grace has appeared, epiphano, become visible. Grace is a person. So I'm going to show you grace in three dimensions real quick. All right? This is the past. The grace that brings salvation, that's Jesus, has appeared. Grace has appeared, become visible. Well, that's grace in the past. All right? Now, grace in the present, teaching us that denying ungodliness, there it is, Pastor Prince. You must teach people to deny ungodliness. Hey, listen, it's the grace of God that's teaching. I say it's the grace of God that is teaching. We teach grace and grace will teach people. All the testimonies that I share with you are people, they don't want to be in this addiction. They don't want to be in this bondage. Amen? So the grace of God, this present, this is grace in the present. So we have grace in the past. Now we have grace present, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. All right? Now grace in the future. This is a posture for all believers looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice Jesus called great God here. Amen? He's not just a person. He's verily God and verily man. Amen? The great God. So what is our posture? We don't look forward to death. We look forward to the appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, there are some grace teachers today, all right? You know, it's quite flippantly, they say things like, there's no such thing as a rapture. All right, rapture is someone's concoction in the 18th century. Let me tell you this, all right? Whenever you don't believe something that is in the scriptures, when you don't believe the truth, some lie is reigning in your life. If you are believing the truth, okay, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. He will bear witness, and there'll be certain kind of experiences in your life that will attest to that. But if you're believing a lie, the Spirit of Truth cannot attest to that because it's called the Spirit of Truth. And that's the reason why the posture for many believers is to look forward to death. You know, we see the world being the way it is right now. We say, well, you know what? We just have to endure through it and all that. No, friend. The Christian posture, even Paul didn't know when the rapture will happen. And the rapture does not need Israel to come back as a nation. All right? The rapture needs no signs or whatever. It can happen anytime. In fact, I believe we are that generation. It's my own personal belief, okay? The Bible doesn't say that, okay? I really believe very soon we'll be out of here. Amen. You see the posture? We have grace in the past. We have grace in the present. We have grace in the future. Looking for the blessed. And that's the Christian attitude. And sometimes, unfortunately, there are great men. There are wonderful great men of God that will say things like, you know, whether there's a rapture or not, it doesn't really matter. I'm a guy who believes in pan tribulation. What's that? Oh, I'm not post, I'm not trip. It will all pan out. Yeah, very funny, okay? People laugh and that kind of thing. But let me tell you this, it shows our ignorance. Because in the Bible, almost every book that Paul wrote, Paul talked about the second coming, okay? The second coming of Christ is when he returns to earth with his saints. But there is a rapture. Now, someone said, even some grace teachers and all that will say things, rapture is concoction of 18th century, all right? Some group came up and say, okay, the rapture. Pastor Prince, where do you find the word rapture? Let me ask you, where do you find the word Trinity? All right? The truth is there. The word is not. The word is coined to help us understand, okay? Like triune God, Trinity is not found in the Bible, but Father, Son, Holy Spirit is. Amen, one God, praise God. But the word harpazo is to snatch away. That's in the Bible, all right? He will catch us away, the catching away of the church. And someone says, if that's the case, it's like an escape clause, you know, an escape way. Well, you know what? If I'm in a burning tower, I will take any escape. I got no problem saying escape. All right, the church is just waiting to escape. Hey, look at the world as it is. I'm waiting for a way to escape. Amen. And if the Lord opens a door, then there are great men of God saying things like, it doesn't really matter. You will all pan out. We all know it sooner or later. But that's a bad attitude. It's not expectant. It's not a blessed hope. And when we don't believe the Bible, we all suffer and our congregations suffer. Amen. For not believing that. I'll tell you what happens when Moses, a type of Christ, okay? Sometimes he's like the opposite of Christ in terms of teaching. Sometimes he's the type of Christ. He went up the mountain, Jesus went up the mountain. His face shone with a splendor that was decreasing. Jesus' face came down the mountain, shone with an ever-increasing splendor. Now, when Moses delayed his coming down the mountain, what did the people say? He delayed his coming. What was the result? A golden calf. Once the blessed hope is not brought before the people, people become worldly. Everyone that has this hope in him purifies himself. Pastors and leaders, you stop preaching the gospel of grace and hope. You stop preaching the grace for the future, all right? Believing in this coming, your people become worldly. And the only thing they can look forward to is death. But for the believer, we're looking forward for the rapture. And the rapture is nothing more than our bodily redemption. Now, the Apostle Paul says it like this. The first person that shared on rapture is Jesus. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. When you see all the things happening in the world, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, he said. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Now, this is not the second coming of Christ. Second coming of Christ, he'll come back in judgment. I say he's coming back in judgment to judge this earth. Amen. Yes, there is judgment, but it's not for us. We who believe on Christ, that Christ is our Savior, he took our sins on the cross. We have passed from judgment unto life. Amen. But he's returned to this earth. Don't forget, he made this earth and he didn't make this earth the way it is today. Amen. He made this earth to be filled with harmony, peace, joy, happiness, celebration. Amen. He didn't make this earth to be what it is. Man has destroyed this earth, but he's returning. Hallelujah. And he'll set this earth right. And the Bible says he's going to reign on earth for 1,000 years. Amen. Before we are back in heaven. And the Bible tells us that he's going to come back as a judge. That's the second coming of Christ. Rapture is not second coming of Christ. The rapture is the appearing of Christ up in heaven. And then surely our bodies are transformed. Paul says it like this. 1 Corinthians 15, behold, I show you a mystery. Now, what is a mystery? A mystery is something hidden in the past, but now revealed to us who are initiated. In other words, those of us that God is calling, amen, those of us who are saved, God reveals the secret to you, the divine secret, the mystery. And Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. And the word sleep means there, pass on, die. All right, here's the word, we shall not all sleep. But we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in the Greek atomic second, which is so fast, all right, you see the twinkle, but you don't see it anymore. And that's how fast our bodies will change. And the Bible says the world won't see us go up. The news media won't see us go up. Your friend won't see you go up. In fact, your family members will not be able to see you go up. Or if you're in office, they won't see you go up. It will happen so fast, you are here and you're gone. They won't see Jesus come for you. Amen. That's why the devil is preparing the world today to believe In fact, they rather believe in UFOs than to believe in God. Amen. They believe in something unidentified than what is identified in the scriptures for us. Amen. They believe in these objects. Okay, they will snatch people away. So they have movies like The Invasion of the Body Snatchers. All right, Close Encounters. And when we all disappear, they'll say that, yeah, this Christian element is an evil element. All right, the UFOs took them away to brainwash them. Maybe one day they'll bring them back. That's what Hollywood is preparing. Amen? They do not know that the devil is behind this to explain away the great disappearance. Amen. Now, the Apostle Paul said this in Thessalonians. And the church of Thessalonians, when Paul wrote to them, they were just about one year plus, old Christian. It's very young Christian. Some people say, you know, rapture and all that, it's not for young Christians to study and all that. I mean, they're 1 year old Christians. And Paul wrote to them, and Paul said, by the Spirit, for this I say to you by the word of the Lord. It's not Paul's opinion. This I say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain will not precede, that the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, then we who are alive and remain, not we who are faithful and obedient, important as that is, but we who are alive, we believers who are alive, not for the world, we who are alive and remain, we are still alive, shall be caught up together. That's the word harpazo, that's the rapture. Shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we'll rise with them. All happen in an atomic second. We get new bodies. We're not floating around in heaven without a body. We have new bodies. And straight away, you are forever young, forever healthy, forever strong, forever, never ever feeling bored, never feel fatigued, never feel tired. You are forever in that body. Forever, it's a pretty long time. And sure, you are booked in this first flight. Amen. I'm here to tell you, church, this is Bible. Everything the Bible says has come to pass. Amen. Well, Pastor Prince, science has proven, science is behind the Bible. Do you know science? One time science says there's no such thing as the Hittites. The Hittites existed long before Egypt existed. And in the book of Exodus about the children of Israel in Egypt in slavery and Moses wrote about the Hittites. But we know discovery showed that Hittites actually existed long after. You know, so Moses must be written way after Moses' time. No, my friend. Now they are discovered. So in other words, you know, archaeology is playing catch up. Its knowledge is incomplete depending on how fast you uncover. Amen. Now they say, oh, the Hittite were as great or maybe even a greater civilization than Egypt back then. Why? They found Hittites at the time of Moses. Amen. Another time, do you see the Nat Geo discovery? The latest one, not on television, but if you go on their website, you can find it. They have now uncovered the skeletons of Philistines. At one time, they say, you know, no such thing as Philistines. Goliath is a Philistine, but we have no proof of the Philistine. Now they found an entire burial ground of Philistines. Have you seen the skeleton? The arm goes from here to here. They have pictures of the, and this is not Christian website. This is Nat Geo, National Geographic. I mean, how about this? Have you all seen the snake? Now they found a very ancient snake, skeleton of a snake that has legs. How is that important, Pastor Prince? God spoke to the snake. And God says, upon your belly you shall go. Pow! He was standing. He had legs. So, whenever you hear something that people say, wait, it's not complete yet. Whatever they say, archaeology discovered this. Oh, they found an ancient man. Just hang on first. The Bible says man didn't come from monkeys. God made man in his image. All right? Monkeys are still around. So if they say, oh, we found something in between. All right, just wait for a while. All right, science and archaeology is always evolving. The Bible is already there, complete. Yeah. You wait long enough, now they found, oh, that one is a tooth of an extinct pig. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, you know. And that chart that they base, you know, slowly start walking up and all that. All I know is this, okay? Pastor Prince, this whole thing, you know, I understand. Perhaps you don't understand the intricacies of the Big Bang. Well, I'll tell you something about the Big Bang. I believe when God speaks, there's a bang. All right? When God speaks, I believe there's a bang. Okay? But the interesting part is that you have a big bang, and out of that comes order and cosmos. Very beautiful. Order and cosmos. I told my son the other day, and we were sort of roughing it out, you know, playing with each other. He says, I said, you can throw me to the furthest Pluto. I said, to the Pluto. Then he corrected me. He said, Dad, Abba, Pluto is no longer the furthest. It's downgraded. It's Neptune, he said. So I didn't know that. I learned it from him. All right? Anyway, out of the Big Bang came order, came cosmos. Amen? Take my car, please. Blow it up. and give me a Lamborghini, please. Come on, if you blow up my car and I even see a tricycle, I'll be shocked. It takes more faith to believe in nothing, created nothing. Created order, cosmos. Men professing themselves to be wise became fools. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Amen. So the thing is this, all right? God said all these things, and then God said there'll be a rapture for the church. Yes, it's an escape. Praise God. Blessed escape, blissful escape. Oh, yes. All right, if you're in a fiery building, thank God for the escape. Amen. I'll take it. The Bible says our bodies will be transformed and we'll be out of here. Amen. Amen. We'll be with Him forever. Can I have a good amen? Amen. Then in heaven, there'll be 7 years. Okay? 7 years of earth suffering, terrible judgment, because man was still blaspheme God. All right? The system then, the Antichrist system, will still be anti-God, anti all kind of, and the Bible says God will judge the earth. And then at the end, all right, there'll be a lot of souls saved. At the same time, He'll return with all of us. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's the second coming of Christ. Okay, the day of vengeance of our God. Now, God does this kind of thing because He's a good God. He cannot allow evil to come into heaven. In fact, when God looked at us and all of us have sinned, God sent His Son. And His Son died at the cross for all our sins, took our place and was judged in our place. So that God, who is righteousness, God who is a God of justice and yet a God of love, cannot allow sin to go unpunished. Imagine a society where the judges pick and choose who to let go, who not to let go, or some things are punished, some things are not. As long as you have the money, you won't be punished. That's not their whole civilization is going to collapse. It will implode. Amen? No, you got to have a judge who is a just judge. Amen. God is a God of justice, righteousness, and a God of love at the same time. But because He is justice, He cannot bypass sin. But because He cannot bypass sin, He can forgive it. But to forgive it, to remit it, there must be a payment because He's a just God. So God sent His Son. Hallelujah. God so loved the world, He sent His Son, and Jesus died on that cross. He hung there for you and I. He bore our judgment, and all the sins that you have ever committed or that you will ever commit in your life was borne by Jesus at the cross, and your sins have all, every one of them, been punished. So today, God cannot punish you for the sins that He punished His Son for. His Son bore your sins. It's called the law of double jeopardy, which means the same sin cannot be punished, the same crime cannot be tried twice. If it's done that way, God will become unjust. So God arranged everything in such a way. God did not compromise His righteousness. God did not bend over His strictness or His justice, amen, a requirement of holiness. God actually reconciled them in the cross of Jesus Christ. God's holiness has been glorified. His love heart has been expressed. Amen. And today when you come to God, God's righteousness is on your side. Amen. God's justice is on your side. Amen. God says, no one can come against my child there. Amen. He is the righteousness of God in Christ. God uses judicial terms. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. Amen. The devil says, but God, he did something wrong just now. God says, look at the cross. It's paid. So God did not bend down to forgive. All right? God is God. God forgave, His eyes wide open because of the cross. We stop down here, we go back, we are happy. Amen? That's the gospel in a nutshell, people. So, but there's some grace people, you know, they preach the grace part to the point there's no justice, there's no righteousness. It's almost like God is love, you know, God loves everybody. Oh, God loves you, God loves, you know, I was in a cab one time in America and the lady, you know, I told her, God loves you. She turned to me and said, yeah, you're right, man. God loves the trees. God loves the butterflies. God loves this road. God loves this car and all that. I was thinking, what did I get myself into? So there are people who believe God is love. All right? But it's not accurate. The understanding of God is not accurate. Hear what I'm saying? So this rapture, the truth of rapture is a blessed hope. It can happen anytime. It can happen tonight. It can happen next week. It can happen afterwards. Amen. Amen. You ready? Yeah. Whether you're ready or not, you're going up if you're born again. Yeah. Amen. And we'll discuss, all right, later on, whether you're right or wrong, all right, on the way up. And there's those who say, well, rapture is a concoction, a theory that came out in the 1800s by a group of people. You know what I found out? Who knows who's Matthew Henry, the very famous Bible commentator? Matthew Henry lived in the 1600s. And when he wrote his Bible commentary, Matthew Henry probably was the first person to say the word rapture. And that was 1600s, not 1800s. Amen. The truth of the rapture is throughout the entire Old Testament. Enoch walked with God. Enoch was not, because God took him. Elijah, he looked up and all of a sudden he crossed the river Jordan, and the chariots of God and the horsemen thereof and all the angels came to receive him. He wasn't dead. Elisha saw him go up and yell, Avi, Avi, my father, my father. And the mantle of Elijah fell on Elisha, and he went up in the rapture. He did not die. And then when Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible says the bodies of all the dead saints in Jerusalem and in all Israel rose up with him. They are the first fruits rapture, which means many others are coming. They were the tithe, so to speak. When Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible says, when he showed himself, all of them showed themselves to other people who are alive in Jerusalem. Hi, I'm Joshua. Joshua? Oh, yeah, yeah. Joshua, that's your name. No, I'm the Joshua of the Bible. The walls of Jericho, I'm the Joshua. Whoa! Hey, I'm Mo. Mo who? Moshe. I am Moses. Do you know what the fourth commandment? Huh? You are that Moshe? Yeah. Alive. Amen. So they walked down the street and they met Solomon.
Oh, I'm so smart. God made me smart. Where is the way to the toilet? Do you have toilets?
Anyway. You won't need toilets in the new body anyway. I'm just telling you, rapture, the truth of rapture is throughout the entire Bible. Amen. It's not the first time God raptured people. Amen. It's going to happen again. We'll be raptured. Get ready. That's our blessed hope. And everyone that has this hope purifies himself. The Bible says, comfort one another with these words. Mothers, you who have lost a child, you'll see your child again. You've lost a grandfather. Every time you hear that song, it reminds you of your granddad. You're going to see him again, except that he's going to be young. Amen. All the loved ones that you kind of wish you had said something better to them or you spend time with them, well, you will get to. Amen. That's the truth of Scripture. Okay? But that's not my message today. My message is this, that I had to share that because, you know, even grace teachers, they've forgotten about the rapture. It's like they preach the past, the past, the past, the past, the past. Or the past and the present, that's it. No, we need this dimension. God works in threes. Huh? Look at 3 John chapter 1. Verse 2, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Now, today, I want to come against this idea, this teaching that people are using, like when they say things like, oh, that's a health and wealth gospel. Oh, those people are health and wealth gospel people, right? They will label us as health and wealth. Even though those of you who have been with me for these past years, you know that Pastor Prince seldom preached an entire sermon on money, right? Yeah, right? Yes. And yet God has prospered us, right? Yeah. I preach Jesus, man. Yeah. All right? But the thing is this, we cannot kowtow to all this onslaughts, this attacks, saying things like, oh, they believe in the health, wealth gospel. Number one, health, wealth gospel doesn't exist. There's only the gospel of grace and peace. Paul calls it the gospel of grace and peace, but it results in health, wholeness, peace of mind, and having an effect on your body as well. Okay? It results in prosperity. If you look at history, wherever the gospel of Jesus Christ has gone, Don't look at those continents today as they are. But I'm talking about history. When the gospel first reached that place became great. People became creative. Prosperity became a common feature. Women were respected. Are you listening, people? So you tell me health, wealth, gospel. And those who say health, wealth, gospel, he might be professor so-and-so. Look at his own life. What kind of house he lives in. He's got a bigger house than yours. If he believes so much, if he's coming against all this so much, he should not be living in that house. He should have the lifestyle, all right, to go and sing with what he's saying. Many of them are wealthy people coming against the church becoming prosperous. God never promised we'll become millionaires. That's not in the Bible. But God did promise that we'll prosper. Yeah. Or they're coming against health. And these so-called even professors and those Christians that teach or they believe in the health gospel and all that, do they go to the doctor still? Huh? Do they want to be healthy? Do they want their children to be healthy? Do they build a house for other people's kids? Are they so large-hearted, they're building a new house for other people's children? No, they're not. It's a form of dissimulation, a form of hypocrisy. Now, I am against materialism. I'm against covetousness. I'm against even preachers whose congregation is of a certain size, certain quality, majority of them, and they live, all right, in a way that's overtly outlandish. I'm against that. I can say this because I don't draw a salary from this church. Yep. I think there are times, nothing wrong with pastors drawing a salary. Every church should support their pastor. Yep. The Bible says that. Yep. All right, this is something unique that I do because of the call that God has on my life. Okay? It's not something I encourage pastors to do. But I'll tell you this. You should sacrifice for the flock, not the flock sacrifice for you. Right. And I'm against teachings like saying like, you know, there's a special season at this time. A special window has opened in heaven. A special door has opened. And if you give at this time, there'll be a great blessing coming on you. Now, that's a gimmick. Because ever since Jesus died, the windows are flung wide open. The doors are open. The veil is torn. Amen. You don't need a special season. Amen. And we see all these abuses. And I'm against every time someone preaches, any passage of the Bible is always money, 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 money. I got a problem with that. I do have a problem with that. Okay? But that doesn't mean that the Bible doesn't promise that there'll be a harvest. Or else, why does Jesus say, give, and it'll be given to you? Why tease us? Why tease us, Lord? The Lord Jesus who said heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. He says give, and it'll be given to you. Yes. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. You know why you press it down? You ever, I used to work last time, raking up leaves and all that. When you put the leaves in the basket, you have to press it down to get more leaves in. Then you put more leaves, you press it down, okay? And then you get more leaves. You press it down so you get as much as possible. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together so the leaves will settle, so more space. And God will give you like that. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. But with the same measure that you use, it'll be measured back to you. Wow. Then the media says things like, well, these churches teach that if you give, they tell the congregation if they give, they'll get something from God in return. Yes! If I read this right, please tell me I'm reading it wrong. The Bible says, he who sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. He didn't say you become a millionaire. Yes, I agree. Amen. There's more to life than money, Pastor Prince. I'll be the first one to tell you that. It's all about Jesus, not about money. But the thing is this, when you have Jesus in your life, even the Mary and Joseph, they were from the lineage of David, the royal line, but they were poor. Why? Because there was a curse. That's another message altogether. All right? Now, the curse didn't reach them, but they were in that state where they were poor. But when Jesus was born, gold came to them. It came to Christ. Frankincense, myrrh, these are very expensive items during the all came to Jesus as a baby. So when Jesus comes into your life, guess what? You become a blessing magnet. Amen. So we don't deny that. While there's abuse going on, There are materialism going on. There's self-centered prosperity going on. There are people showing off their prosperity going on. That's why our testimony, you don't find me testifying. I've got testimonies today, four of them today that I don't get a chance to read. But, you know, I don't share testimonies on this guy sharing, well, we got this deal, we got this million-dollar deal anymore. Does that mean we don't have it in our church? We have it. But I don't share them. Why? I share salvation testimonies, deliverance from addiction. Amen. Why? Because I noticed that Jesus would tell people who are delivered, people who are healed, go and tell your friends what great things the Lord has done for you. But he never, after he multiplied loaves and fishes, he went up the mountain alone. He never tells them, go and tell all the four corners of Decapolis what I've done. When it comes to prosperity, keep quiet. When it comes to other things, tell the world. Okay? Yeah, the world gets jealous. The world, don't expect even your friends to understand. So we don't, I tell all my pastors, leaders, don't share prosperities, testimonies. And we've not been doing it for years, if you've noticed that. Yep. Amen? Amen? Because you got people rising up saying that, I got 1 million more than you. I got this more. It becomes empty. The end time church, Laodicea, in the seven churches of Revelation, the end time church is a wealthy church. But they didn't know they were naked. They were so proud of their wealth. They say that, I'm rich and have need of nothing. Amen. Then Jesus says, you are blind. You are naked. I counsel you. Buy of me gold. True gold. All right? Buy of me eye salve for your blind eyes. And I'll clothe you with the robe of righteousness. I'll clothe you. There are people who are poor people, but a lot of money. We don't become like that. You understand? So while we believe, see, God's desire is this. Go back to 3 John. Beloved, notice, beloved agapitos is written to people who are loved by God. That means all believers. It's not for the world. And the King James says, I wish. But here it says, I pray. Paul, John is saying, I pray that you prosper in how many things? In all things. In your parenting. In your business, in your ministry, in your social life, amen. In all things. Don't let anyone out there rob you of this. And not only that, be in health. Oh, you must understand. This is spiritual health, Pastor Prince. No, spiritual health is just as your soul prospers. What the Bible? When the Bible is literal, don't try to, all right, rationalize it as something figurative or something spiritual. Don't add to God's word. Can I have a good amen? Amen. There are some prejudices. There are people who are Greek scholars, Hebrew scholars. There are people who are professors of seminaries, but they are biased. I remember reading about a new translation, new version of the Bible coming up. All right? They all sat down at the table, and then they came to Hebrew, Isaiah 53, which is a great chapter on the sufferings of Jesus, all right? The sufferings of the Messiah. Then it read, he was wounded for our transgressions and all that. And it came to the part, surely he has borne our diseases. Hebrew, koli. And carried our makof in Hebrew, pains. Everywhere koli is used in the Bible, it's always disease, physical disease. Wherever makof, pains are used, it's always physical pain. And then they say, all the while the King James put it, surely he has borne our griefs, which is not accurate. So the guy says, the group, why don't we put down diseases and pains? And a professor, a man who knows Greek and Hebrew, spoke up and says, no, we'll give the charismatics victory. In other words, at the end of the day, the slant, the prejudice is stronger than their orthodoxy or their adherence to scripture. Are you listening, people? We don't need that. You know what? I can bring you to Matthew 8:17. It says that Jesus cleansed the leper, all right, healed the people when the sun was setting. All people, diverse diseases came and they were all healed. Watch this, that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So is it spiritual? No, he just healed physical diseases. But the Bible says, Isaiah says that he will carry the diseases. So, okay, context settle everything. But there is this biasness. Amen? They themselves can live in a big house. They themselves can give themselves very good medical care. All right? But when the church preached that God wants you healthy, God wants to prosper your life, they get into this, you know. Whilst I agree that there are teachings, especially coming out from some sectors, I cringe when I hear people saying, you gotta give now. Now there's an open heaven. Yeah, there's an open heaven. Don't miss this opportunity. Oh, God spoke to me, the next 5% that he's gonna, you know, I got a problem with that. I got a problem with that. Sorry, yeah? That's just me. Forgive me. All right, I got a problem with that. It's gimmicky. But when you come to the scriptures, the Bible says, he who sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. He who sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. It's still the truth. It's still the truth. And guys, have a prosperous spirit. There are people, even after they hit a lottery, okay, the biggest lottery or whatever, sudden wealth or whatever, they're still poor. A very poor mentality. Sometimes I see that. I'm sorry if this hits any of you, okay? Because I saw this happening the other day. I was in a coffee shop drinking coffee. When you say drinking, people, all right. I love the Chinese coffee, you know? And I was drinking coffee, and all of a sudden, there was commotion running around. People running into their Mercedes. People running into their BMW. Why? The police guy came. The man in white has arrived. And then start playing off. And one is found begging him. I just here for one, drink kopi, you know, the kind of thing. You know? And I think to myself, I've seen this so many times. Why not just for the peace of your mind, tear the extra. Or put the coupon. Why struggle with all these things? Have peace of mind. Pay it. Amen. And Pastor Prince, price is increasing. Believe that God is aware that parking rates are going up. All right? The supply will increase. Have this attitude. Supply will increase. God didn't say, oh man, I didn't see that coming. No way. The supply will increase. Have a prosperous attitude. Have a big attitude. Yeah. Yeah. Running around. Embarrassing and all. It's like, still got a poor spirit. Big car, but poor spirit. And by the way, since we're on this, when no one, what happens when no one is watching? Okay? Well, no one in the natural is watching. No one physical is watching. Right? And it's not 4 o'clock yet. It's 3:35. And then you look around. If I want to put a coupon, might as well put 4 o'clock. You know you are lying, but no one is watching. I'll tell you this, okay? I got a problem with that. Even for me, I would rather go down below than to go up. I just feel that, like, there's someone watching. Someone who loves me. Someone who wants me to have a big spirit. Amen. A generous spirit. Amen. And there are angels also watching. Okay? And most importantly, you are watching. And there's a thing called self-respect. The more you do things that's right when no one is looking, all right? Whenever you walk into a room without even saying a word, people feel the Bible calls it doxa, in Hebrew, kavod, the weightiness. Because you're a person with dignity. Dignity means self-respect. If anything, it builds your self-respect. It gives you a sense that God is, you know, do that. Okay, praise God. So, God does want us to prosper. I've shown you the scriptures for this, very clear. Abraham, when he was old and about to leave and be with the Lord, the Bible says of this account of him. Now, Abraham was old, well advanced in age. The Lord had blessed Abraham in how many things? In all things. Parenting, in his ministry, in his flock, in every area, most of all, in his walk with God. Amen? In all things means all things. Look at Joshua. After he crossed the River Jordan, went into the promised land. Amen? Now he's an old man. He died at the age of 110. And he says this in Joshua talking, behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts, in all your souls, that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. Actually, the word there is davar. Not one word from God, not one word has failed. Of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you, and all have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed. Amen. You know, God is a God who wants to bless you in every area. May this be said of you at the end of your life, amen, or rapture, that not one word of God in their lives have failed. Amen. Amen. I understand that in a church like ours, we believe God for healing. We believe God for the best. Even in 30-fold manifestation, we still believe God wants you well. But don't penalize a good church like this by getting angry because someone didn't get healed. You take another instance of a church that prays like this, all right? The pastor wants to be off the hook, off the responsibility. So you ask him to pray for someone you love in the hospital. He says that God may heal. And on the other hand, God may not. Off the hook, right? You understand? So when he prays, he'll pray like this. He won't command the disease to leave or not. He'll pray, Father, if it be your will, heal this little child here. We know, Lord, you have a best reason for everything. We trust you, Lord. If it's your will for the child to be with you, take the child. If it's not your will, Lord, then heal the child. Now, he's off the hook. You understand not? If you attend a church like that and he goes back and a child dies, nobody blames the pastor because he never created that expectation. But in a church like ours, and we have so many people healed, we have so many healings. And by the way, just to let you know, right now there's a healing revival among the young people. The young people are moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Our young people, your children. They came back from Legacy Camp recently and they're full of the Holy Spirit, prophesying to each other. Instagram prophecy. Insta prophecy. To each other. Moving in the gifts, getting their grandparents saved, getting their family members saved, which is the greatest miracle of all. Amen. The greatest blessing of nothing thrills my heart more than to hear someone getting saved. More than healing, more than anything else. Right. These are your children. But then, once in a while, you have this person passing on. And what the devil wants is to focus and zero in on one person and then get you beaten, angry. Well, you teach on healing and all that, you know, they get angry. Then they leave to go to a church where it may heal, may not heal. Isn't it better to believe to hit the sun but you hit the moon than not to aim at all and stay in Tanjung Katong? Nothing wrong with Katong, by the way. All right? Jesus talked about healing, 30-fold. That means what? 70-fold still not healed. The manifestation come. Then 60-fold. Now you got more healing than sickness, but the pain is still there. Persevere, then be 100-fold. Yes. Right? Let's believe God together. None of us are perfect. I lost a baby, all right, in the mother's womb. All right, we believe God for the baby. We did everything. But here and there, we don't walk fully in everything. Right, but we're still learning to possess our possessions. Yes. But just because my experience is not the measure for my preaching, amen? Neither is your experience the measure. The Word of God is the measure. Yes. Amen. Yes. Then there is this attitude of, well, you know, there are blessings for Israel and there are physical blessings, but for the church, it's only spiritual blessings. And I'll tell you where they got that from. They got it from here. Ephesians 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. You see, a spiritual blessing. And the way they say spiritual means it's not real, you know. This is real. Physical is real. But spiritual, let me tell you something, okay? If you can touch something, all right, you can touch something, it is less real than spiritual. You know why? It's dying. It's decaying. You see this seat you sit on? Touch this seat right now. Amen? Come back 50 years. Look at the seat. Everything you can touch and see is not exactly what it'll be. Everything is decaying. Actually, there's less hope in the physical. Invisible doesn't mean not real. Invisible means not seen by your eyes. But it's more real, realer. That's bad, I know, but you get the point home. It's more real, more substantial than the physical that's visible because God is a spirit and God brought forth the material. It wasn't a material that brought forth the invisible, spiritual. It was a spirit being that brought forth the material. All your answers are in the spirit. It manifests in the physical. Angels, forever young. They saw two of them at Jesus' tomb when he rose from the dead. The Bible says they look like young men. There's no aging in heaven. Why? Because they're forever in the spirit world. But spirit doesn't mean it's not real. You understand? So this word here, spiritual blessing, is from the Greek word pneumatikos, which means things that have their origin in God, according to a Greek scholar, Thayer. All right, the Greek meaning pneumatikos means it has its origin in God. Now, if I don't trust God, but I'm a guy who trusts my abilities, and I believe in exercise, I do exercise, okay? But if I just exercise, trusting my abilities, all right, I may actually have a health or a fitness that is actually, the origin is man. It's fleshly, which doesn't speak much about its future. But I can exercise, but my trust is in God for health. Now, the blessing is different. That health is pneumatikos. It has its origin in God. Do you understand? So, whatever... Now, think about it. This word spiritual is used for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. For example, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, whenever you see the word spiritual gifts, is pneumatikos charismata. Okay? Now, watch this. One of the gifts of healings is... Yeah, one of the gifts is called healings. Gifts of healings. It is a pneumatikos. Yet it manifests how? Physically. Do you understand? It manifests physically. When I point at a man and a woman, I say, that man is blessed by God. You cannot see it, but you can see the effects. Amen. When God brought Israel out of Egypt, God told them this, when your flocks increase and your herds increase and your oil and your wine and all that is abounding. And God says, and you prosper, you have plenty of children. Don't forget the Lord your God. And don't say this, God says in Deuteronomy 8, don't say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. But you shall remember, Old King James says you, but you, here he says, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you wealth. It is he who gives you wealth. It is he who gives you wealth. No? What does it say? It is he who gives you what? Power to get wealth. Now, power. Can you see this power to get wealth? And by the way, the word get there, it's not just get, it's the Hebrew word asa, which create wealth. God gives you power to create wealth, to produce wealth, to make wealth. I was watching this documentary the other day called Autocrats or Aristocrats or whatever. Aristocrats is Disney, sorry. And the family they focus on are the Rothschilds. And they had this segment where they had some reenactment and all that. A Jewish father with the curls and all that, you know, and gathering his five sons, the Rothschild family, telling them, I want you all to be bankers in different countries of the world. And you know the story of Rothschild? They became the wealthiest family in Europe and still very wealthy. And one of them, Nathan Rothschild, he was the one that was at the battlefield where Napoleon was defeated by the British army. And back in those days, no Instagram, no phone and all that. So he got the fastest horse to ride back all the way to London, and he bought government bonds because he knew that the bonds will rise, and he bought as much as possible. At the moment they stopped the market, all right, his worth back then, today's money will be US $600 million. Just from advanced, information, so to speak. All right? So the story is just amazing, but they showed the modern day Rothschild, fourth in line, and the fourth descendant, rather, very elderly man. And he said this, we are part of a British culture, yet we are not part of it. And the daughter says, because we are Jews. It is amazing that they keep on saying, people say it's our genes, the Rothschild genes, that genes. Well, Zuckerberg is not a Rothschild, but he's a Jew. Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook. And talk about experience, he didn't have much experience. But he happened to produce something, create wealth, without even knowing there is a koach. By the way, the Hebrew word for that is koach. All right, power. Koach. To get wealth. And this koach, this power, is invisible. Amen. It's not like there's a mark on your head. You know, it's invisible. And yet, whatever you touch seems to, you create wealth. And that's why Hitler tried to blame the Jewish people, you know, Kevin. But that is an abuse, an anti-Semitism. But nonetheless, this minority race in the world today, they have this capacity, this koach. But the thing is that they do not know themselves where it comes from. I sat with an ambassador one time and he told me, people say it's our genes, some say it's our fighting to survive and all that. But many of the Jews, even in other countries, not all of them are fighting all the time. All right, some of them are prosperous in universities like Mark Zuckerberg and all that. So it cannot be that. So I think I was looking at him and said, it's your covenant. God keeps covenant. God keeps covenant. Koach, the ability, the power to get, to create wealth. Now, do we have that? Hey, we have a better covenant established upon better promises. Amen? So, if they have that, you must know the purpose. The purpose is that he may establish, God gives you power to get wealth or create wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which is swore to your fathers as it is this day. Now, who is the fathers? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. They lived long before the Sinaitic covenant through Moses was given. And that covenant that God is talking to establish, that God wants to establish, is the covenant of grace, not Sinaitic covenant. Because Abraham, Isaac, Jacob were under the covenant of grace. They lived 400 years before the law was given. And if you want to promote the gospel of grace and you stand in line, all right, you put yourself in line with what God is doing. Man, you are in the flow of the power to create wealth so that he can establish his covenant. Get behind God's plan and God will cause his power to be behind you. Amen. To create and to get. So what do I do? Well, Pastor Prince, you use that word wealth. We don't believe that in church. I didn't use it. Read your Bible, people. The problem is that don't listen to this man's opinion, that man's opinion. Today you listen to end times. Man, there's so many teachings on end times, they just produce doom and gloom. Go to the Bible. See what the Bible says about end times and the rapture. And how often in Paul's letters, almost every letter of Paul, except Galatians, all right? Every other letter he touched on the coming of Christ, the appearing of Christ, as the blessed hope. And even this thing, go to your scriptures, ask yourself, don't believe a denomination. Don't even believe Pastor Prince. See what is in scriptures. Amen? Amen? So do we have it today? Yes. Because you know why? Those who teach that the church only has spiritual blessings. Israel has physical blessings. Plenty of flock, plenty of herds, gold, silver. They don't understand that these are the results of the spiritual blessing. We have the spiritual blessing. Yes, spiritual blessing is forgiveness of sins. But what is the result? No stress, peace, health in your body. Amen. Come on. Forgiveness, righteousness of God. What does it produce? It produces physical evidence. Even your behavior. Amen. You don't sleep around. You don't go after another man's wife, another person's husband. You don't cheat. You don't cheat on your taxes. You render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. You give to God the things that are God's. Even you feel like you're being shortchanged by anybody, you feel that more is coming. God is bigger than someone cheating you. You don't have to go down to their level. I've been cheated. I've been lied to. I have been robbed, but God always blesses me more. Amen. I don't hold a grudge against a person. Amen. So, there is a promise I want you to memorize and keep in your heart, because a lot of voices are out there and they are trying to make you think that this teaching on God want to prosper you, God want to keep you, God wants to give you health, all these things are cultish. All right? So you must keep all these verses in mind. Look at 2 Corinthians, we're winding down. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. For all the promises, how many promises? All the promises of God in Christ are what?
Yes.
Come on, don't just say yes. In Christ are what?
Yes.
All the promises of God in Christ are?
Yes.
Yes. And in Christ, amen, unto the glory of God through us. You know, when you say, yes, not that maybe it's for us, I do not know yet, so-and-so says not for us today and all that, there's no yes there. It's like a yes, no, yes, no. It'll be an affirmative yes. All the promises of God is yes for us. Amen. And in Him, amen. And when you say that, yes and amen, you will give glory to God.
Amen.
It'll be through you. Why? You are saying yes and amen. So it's through you, but God gets the glory.
Amen.
Now, this is very interesting that those who don't have this attitude of yes and amen when it comes to blessings of God, they don't see it manifest, even though God wants them to have it. It must be a definitive, emphatic yes. In Him, amen. You must tell your child or your loved one that is sick, God wants you well. Not like, yeah, I think maybe God wants you. Let's just pray and see how. Be affirmative. Jesus was very firm. According to your faith, be it unto you. So these people, when you listen to them and you watch YouTube and you let them brainwash you and you start having this attitude, maybe yes, maybe no and all that, all right? What? Tell me, what will you do with Jesus' words when He says, according to your faith, be it unto you? What are you going to do with that? As you have believed, so be it done unto thee. All these are Jesus' words. So your faith is important. What you believe is important. Amen. You cannot waver and you got to know this. You got to study this. You cannot just, you know, get angry with the church because so-and-so didn't get healed and say, yo, y'all preach this, y'all preach that. It's not, it's not us. We're not so smart to preach such an excellent, wonderful word from God. It's from God's word. Amen. Okay, look at this. Let's look at the context. Go behind. Look at verse 17. Therefore, Paul says, when I was planning this, did I do it lightly? What is planning lightly? Or the things I plan, do I plan according to the flesh? What is planning according to the flesh? Flesh is no good, we know. Flesh always produces deadly results. What is planning according to the flesh? This is planning according to the flesh. That with me, there should be yes, yes, and no, no. See that? Yes, yes, no, no. Yes, no, yes, no. Yes, yes, no, no. Yes, no. That is the flesh. There's no emphatic yes. But as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. Next. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in Him was yes. Does God want you well? Yes. Does God want your family well? Yes. Even if there are trials, God still wants you well? Yes! This might be temporal, okay? But we believe it is. And God gets the glory. To the glory of God through us. Amen? Now, I'll tell you who is behind this. You might think that this professor of this seminary, this guy, you know, this guy. Actually, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The devil. He doesn't want you to believe that God wants you blessed in all these areas. I'm bringing this to a close. Remember when Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness? Let's go to the story right now. Matthew 4. Then the devil took Jesus up into the holy city. Now this is during the 40 days of tempting Jesus. Jesus allowed Himself to be tested by the devil. Now I believe in the impeccability of Christ. What's that word, impeccability? That Jesus cannot sin. Not that He will not, He cannot. Apostle Prince, if that's the case, then he's not an example to all of us. No, He's still an example. But you and I, we have sin in us that stirs us. He doesn't have sin in Him. He was born in the likeness of sinful nature, not in sinful nature. We are all born in sinful nature. Do you understand? That's why He cannot die. He had to lay down His life. Does that mean He has no compassion for us? No, the Bible, full of examples, He had compassion on the leper, compassion on the widow. Compassion all the time. But compassion doesn't mean you must suffer, then you have compassion. That's man's idea. Well, if he doesn't have a nature like us, then he cannot sin, then he's not a good example. But hey, in heaven today, he still has a man's nature, but glorified. Can he still sin? Thank God, he's impeccable on earth and in heaven. But then why test him then? Okay, the devil doesn't know. I do not know if the devil knows he's impeccable or not, but the devil, you know, the devil is foolish. It's like if I tell you I got a bar of gold, hey, guys, this is the reason for the testing of Jesus. I say, this is a real gold bar. You say, oh, come on, Pastor Prince. I don't think it's a real gold bar. I got it from somewhere, from that, what's the name of the secondhand place, that River Market, is it something? Okay, anyway, I don't go there anymore. From a flea store, okay? And I said, no, this is a real gold. It's solid gold. It's real gold. No, Pastor Prince. I said, it's real gold. Yeah, test it. Send it to your friend to test it. All right? Don't run with it. Test it. Okay? Okay, a few days later, he came back. Whoa, it is solid gold. So the testing is not to bring out the impurities. God knew Jesus is solid gold. God knew it. God allowed him to be tested because man doesn't know it. He's impeccable. Thank God he's impeccable. If he's not impeccable, we're all done for. Because he can still sin today in heaven, in that body. Thank God he cannot sin. He will not sin. He did not sin because he will not sin. He will not sin because he cannot sin. Amen. What a Savior. So this was a time of temptation. The goal is being tried. So the devil brought him up to a holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple. By the way, there's a big debate about that, whether Jesus can sin or not. I've taken my stand. I believe in the impeccability of Christ. And there are a lot of ramifications. When you believe right, you know, you put Christ higher than what people put him there, you have good results in your life. Now, I will tell you that, okay? I studied this enough. So just don't write to me. You know? Then the devil took Jesus up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, you know, the Father just spoke to Jesus when he came out the rivers of Jordan, baptized by John. The Father says, you are my beloved Son. Many years ago, the Lord showed me that the constant theme of the devil in the temptation is the same, the constant theme. The temptation changed, but the theme is, if you are the Son of God. The devil left off the word beloved. The Father says, you are my beloved Son. Beloved, I wish above all things you prosper. God wants you to have a sense that you are beloved. Amen. But the devil doesn't want. So guess what? Preach on beloved more, that God loves you. Amen? Amen? So the devil left off the word. Now it's preached all over America and all that, but the original dealer is here. All right? It was a revelation given to me many years ago. So whoever preached it right now, okay, just know that they're using my revelation. This was fresh from heaven. If you are the Son of God, left off. You cannot say if you are the beloved Son. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. So he's on the pinnacle of the temple, which is very high. Throw yourself down, for it is written, God will give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. There are a few things I want you to see here. Some people say, the devil can also quote scripture. Yeah, but you know what Jesus did? He still answered, it is written, after this. You don't back away just because the devil quoted scripture. And there are a few things here about the devil quoting scripture. Number one, there's no record of devil quoting scripture except here. And of all the scriptures he quoted Psalms 91. So God told me a long time ago, why do you reckon the devil quoted Psalms 91? He's familiar with it. Why? Because it's the most quoted against him by God's people. That's number one. So people say, you know, the devil read the Bible? I don't think he reads the Bible. He knows the Bible from what you say. I don't think he knows the Bible. Come on. To read the Bible is to become heavenly, man. Amen. Anyway, another thing is this. Throw yourself down. The idea is to throw yourself down so the angels will bear you up. But if you look at Psalms 91... All right, look at Psalms 91. He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands, they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So, you. Okay, both, Kahani, you, both of you. Oh my God. Okay? And, bro. Okay, both of you. You stand in the center. Okay, since you got the robe of righteousness and these people are sinful. A lot of dark sins. Okay. You all face me here. Okay? What does it say? He gives his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways, in your hands, in their hands, sorry, angelic hands. They shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Okay? There is a stone here. Okay, let's say this is a stone. Okay? It's nighttime. You can't see it. Stone, snake, whatever you want to call it. He doesn't know he's walking. He's just walking. He's just walking. Angels are walking with him. God has given charge. You know what's charge, no? Like a command. Take care of him. That's God's command to all of, to his angels, to keep all of you, you know? Okay, watch this. So as he's walking towards here, all right? Can I bring this over here? Okay, never mind. Tell you what. We use this instead. All right. Angels, can you carry him over on either side? As he's walking, he can't see the problem. All right? Okay, come. Under his armpit. Put your hands around him. They shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. All right. Give them a good hand. Thanks, guys. Now, it is your daily walk. It's not talking about jumping down. It's your daily walk. Right? Nowhere does it say, God gives his angels charge over you. In their hands, they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Now, if you jump down from a real high place, like the pinnacle of the temple, you won't dash your stone. You will dash your tua tower. You will dash, that's Chinese for, you'll dash your head. Your big head, I said. All right? When you jump down, your head, all right, will be down and you'll dash your head. So it's talking about, so the devil is trying to misapply it to say jump down, do rash things. One thing about Psalms 91, when we teach Psalms 91, don't do crazy things just because, you know, and you speed and you say, I'm under Psalms 91. No, there are angels. Yes, I agree. God gives angels charge and they are on your car, the four corners of your car. That's why when you speed, have you noticed your car become lighter? Because angels take off. They take off. Okay, watch this. He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. I'm bringing this so close. In all your ways. In all your ways. In all your ways. Go back to what the devil said. The devil said to Jesus, verse 6, he shall give, if you're a son of God, throw yourself down. It is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up. Okay, watch this. He left in all your ways. The four words, in all your ways. How many ways? The word ways is Derek. So if your name is Derek, it actually means road. Jesus says, Ani ha Derek, I am the way. Derek means road or journey, a path, all right? Do you know all of us, we have journeys in life, all right? We have a parenting journey, we have a career journey, we have a ministry journey, we have a relationship journey. It's a journey. It's not like finish in one day. It's a journey. And God says, in all these journeys, not just in one journey, but in all, go back to the promise again, in all your journeys, there are angels with you, watching you. In your journey to build health and strength in your body, when you exercise, the angels are with you. Amen. Amen. In all your journeys. So what the devil wants is to take away in all. Let me just tell you this. We believe in Psalms 91. All right? And I believe that Jesus cannot be destroyed. That's why even at the cross, he died when he breathed. He dismissed his spirit like a king would dismiss his subjects. The word there is amazing. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it up again. Jesus cannot die without his permission. That's why they're about to stone him more than once. He walked right in their midst. He walked. Cleared. Like the Red Sea cleared. They cannot touch him. It wasn't his time. At the cross, it was his time. Okay? So let me just say this to you. Even so, because there's no sin in him, he cannot be killed. Death can only fasten on someone who has sin. And all of us have sin. But Jesus had no sin. So death cannot fasten. The wages of sin is death. Death cannot touch him. But even then, because he came to humble himself, to live like a man, he took precautions. Even when he was a baby, the angel appeared to Joseph in a dream and says, take the baby, take the young child and his mother. By the way, in the Bible, in the Gospels, you never find angels or whatever, addressing Joseph as, take your son. Never. And mother, yes, but it's always mother second. Take the young child and his mother. not mother and child. Five times in Matthew chapter 2, it says, take the young child and his mother. The young child and his mother. Now bring the young child and his mother. The young child is priority, not the mother. He that have ears to hear, let him hear. Never say, take your son, because he's God's son. But nonetheless, the warning was given, take the young child and his mother and bring him over to Egypt. Herod seeks to destroy him. Do you think Christ can be destroyed? No. There's no death, there's no sin in him. But perhaps it's to protect the parents. So he came to humble himself, to live among men. Whatever precautions men take, he takes. He didn't have to go to the River Jordan and baptize himself. He had no sins. The baptism is for baptism for repentance. But yet he went down and John says, how can I do this? He says, suffer it to be so now, to fulfill all righteousness. How lowly he came to bring us up so high. Amen. Give him praise. Come on, church. Amen. All right. Now, I want to close by saying this. How is it that we can experience this? I know that God has given us every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. How can we experience it in a tangible, experiential way? You know how? I find the more I come to know Jesus, the more I see Jesus, the more blessed I am. And it's not as if before I see Jesus, God has not decided to bless me. The Bible says God has blessed, past tense, me with every spiritual blessing. But it's when I see Jesus, the blessing manifests. And I think I found a scripture for that. If you ask the question, Pastor Prince, the Jews have this power to create wealth. Do we have it also? Yeah, if we're going to establish the covenant of grace, we have to have it. But how does it come? And I'll close with this last passage. 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's all read the verse 2 together. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now I'm going to read to you the way a Jew will read it. Chesed v'shalom. Grace and peace. But when this shalom, it means not just peace of mind, health. Shalom means wholeness. Shalom means wellness. So we get so acclimatized to words that we forget their Jewish roots. And Peter is a Jew. So he's writing to Jewish believers as well. And I believe we Gentile believers can, all right, can benefit from it. But he's using like grace, chesed, v'shalom, grace. How many want more favor in your life? Yes. Undeserved, unearned favor. How many want more health, more shalom, more peace, more wellness, more wholeness? How does it come? How does it get multiplied? It comes by the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That Jesus is the God and Jesus is the Lord. The more you know Jesus, and the knowledge there is epignosis, which is epic means full. Gnosis is knowledge. It's a full knowledge. It's revelation. More revelation you have. You got to pray that you sit under a ministry that unveils Jesus. Because you say, what was the benefit listening to Jesus being revealed? Oh, you got more health when you walk out. When you're listening to your MP3, all right? Now, I will recommend Joseph Prince MP3. It's online, all right? Joseph Prince application, all right? Download it, and you can store it in the cloud so you don't have to worry about space. Amen. And you're listening. As you're listening, grace, favor is being multiplied. Peace is being multiplied as you get revelation of Jesus. At least I know what I preach. Not only that, this knowledge, as His divine power, isn't that the same as God will give you power to get wealth? Right? As His divine power has given to us all things. How many things? All things that pertain to life and godliness. Because there are some people who say, well, God gives us all things, but it's only for our walk with Him. And that was godliness. Now, I'm for godliness. Amen. Thank God for godliness. We need to live life that exalt Jesus Christ. Amen. But here, all things is not just pertaining to godliness. pertain to life. In fact, in the original Greek, pro-life, from the word pros. And if all things that is pro-life, that will create life in your life, hey, is health pro-life? Life, is finances pro-life? It's for your life, for the advantage of your life. Not just godliness, all things are given, not just for godliness, but for your life. How does this power get released to bring all things into my life? It is God's desire for me to have all these things that pertain to life and godliness. God has given them already. I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings. But how does it manifest? Again, as if we didn't get it the first time. Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. The word there again, knowledge, is epignosis. It's a repeat. Twice He sandwiched the thing. When you know Jesus, grace and peace, amen, favor and wholeness is multiplied. And then He releases His power to give you all things. But the way you receive all these things that pertain to life is through the knowledge of Him who call us by glory and virtue. Glory and virtue. You know, when people look at you today, one reason in the natural why Singapore is great is because we are still one of those nations in the world that still practice honor. In many societies today, they don't respect the elderly. They don't even respect their parents. I understand some society, they call their parents by their first name. I understand that. And they say they're not being, rude. But as a principle, we have forgotten to honor people in authority. We have forgotten to honor law enforcement, police people. We disrespect them. Be the one that makes sure your coupon is there or not. Your parking coupon is there. We don't smile at them. We don't tell them, keep up the good work. You should try that. Smile at them. Be nice to them. We've forgotten honor. Our kids don't honor because they watch movies and, you know, even people flying jet planes can dishonor their admiral when giving a direction, as shown by a recent movie. Trying to be cool, looking dumb. Well, listen to nobody. You are backwards. As old as the book of Judges, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Amen. You won't go far. In a soccer game, you do whatever you want to do. Play the ball where you want to play. Position yourself where you want to position. You'll be out. Even Ronaldo learned that. It's not working. Hollywood is not working. Holy word is. We still have honor. Amen. God has called us the knowledge of Him who call us by glory and virtue. When you have the knowledge of Him, you see Him. You know, you see Him above the pettiness of life. You see Jesus. Doesn't dress like a king, but you know He came from the kingly line of David. And yet you can tell by the way when He speak, diseases depart. Demons kowtow to Him and scream. Are you come to torture us before the time? To torment us before the time. He spoke and dead people live. Embrace the weak and the lowly. Touch the leper. Children loved Him. Yet there's a dignity about Him. They say no man is a hero to his own valet because the valet stays close to Him day in, day out. But Jesus, even though they slept with Him, they traveled with Him, the disciples were afraid many times to ask Him questions. They dispute among themselves and Jesus would come and say, what were you disputing? There's a dignity about Him. There's something. God has called you to glory and virtue. There are some things you don't say. You think you're cool by saying the F word? You lost control. A demon has you from outside, not from inside. You think that's cool? What is cool is to rise above it. Look at people who speak bad about you, shine, walk away. There's something they don't have. Don't come down to their level. Amen. Be someone who is charming. Open doors for people. Be nice, be considerate. Yet not flirtatious. Be someone that girls want to marry, but you choose only one. Be someone that, you know, people admire, but you are true to your wife only. Be someone glorious, virtuous, like Jesus. Don't sleep around. Hey, girls, there is no ring. Let Him spring. Amen. Don't give him the things that don't let him open up all the Christmas presents. Don't be stupid. And pastor, I'm scared if he leaves me, God will give you a better one. One who will respect you. One who is called to glory and virtue.
Very good. Amen.
You're too precious. And you know, you're not supposed to function in the environment. I know what goes in your heart. And maybe one day I give him what he wants. He will love me. He will stay with me. I'll tell you this. Every time you do that, you're making it worse for your relationship.
Yeah. Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Preach it, Pastor Prince. That's good preaching. Hallelujah. Amen. He has called us by glory and virtue. It all comes with knowledge of him, with that sense of moral excellence. Not holier than thou. No, Jesus didn't have this holier than thou. I'm holy. Don't come near me. No such thing. So people see me all the time in coffee shops and all that. That's where you can find me, by the way. All right? I love to be in coffee shops. That's how I see people running to put the coupons and all that. And yet, we can be approachable, but never coming to that level. Everyone talk bad about the boss. You're scared to say something nice about him. But he's still your boss. You have no business talking bad about him, or else leave. Be a gentleman. Have glory. Have virtue. And everybody want to be a Madras crab, you know, Madras crab. You don't need to put a lid on the Madras crab, the basket. All the crabs are inside. Because one crab tried to come out, the other crab pulled him down. One crab tried to come out, another one pulled him down. Or Sri Lankan crab, they call it. One goes up, he pulled him down. Okay? There are people who don't need to rise. They'll say, you're a bigot, you're narrow-minded. You are full of hatred. You are a hypocrite. They can say what they want. Look at them, shine, smile, go on. Amen. Maintain your standard.
Yes.
Amen? That's it. People want to pull you down so they feel normal. No, we have a high calling.
Yes.
We have the one who redeemed us from all our sins. We owe it to him. Sometimes I'm with Pastor Lawrence. You know, we've done it before, overseas and all that. We go into a lift. They have one guy down here using all kind of blankety blank, talking to his friend. Then I look at Pastor Lawrence and say, praise God. Praise the Lord. God is good, isn't he? Yeah. And you know something? I put my hand on Pastor Lawrence. Remember that? God so loved you, he died for your sins. You know that? And then he was just like this. Amen. 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 If they have the freedom to speak what they want, I have the freedom to speak what I want. I want to praise my Heavenly Father. Amen. Of course, if trouble breaks out, I'll leave it to Pastor Lawrence. He's got the muscles, not me. I do this more than one time. I think you have seen me do this. I mean, do this quite a number of times, right? Preach the gospel to my pastors when someone steps in. You guys, it's very simple. It's not so hard. People make it hard. The Bible says, you can call on Jesus' name, you are saved.
Amen.
All right? Very fast. Bing, the person's out. The person heard it. I guarantee you they heard it. I always start by saying it's not hard. It's easy to be safe. And after for a while, he start playing along. At first, huh? If Pastor Lawrence takes some time. Okay? But God has given him all things. Amen? Not just muscles. All things. Aren't you glad you came today? Aren't you glad for this house? Amen? Praise the name of Jesus. Give him praise, church. Amen. It is him. It is him. Give him all the praise and the glory. I want to pray a blessing over you. As you have seen just these past few days, the horror of terrorism, the perilous times that we are in, it's time for us to really believe God that Psalms 91 is our portion. Every head bowed, every eye closed all across this place. Friend, you've heard the good news. God is not holding your sins against you. God sees beyond your faults and God sees your need for His love, for His forgiveness, for His grace. Jesus said it like this: what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, but he loses his own soul? Friend, if that is you, I've got good news for you. God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin with your sins on that cross, so that God can make you and I, who knew no righteousness, to be righteous, legally acquitted in His eyes. If that is you, wherever you are right now, you want this to be your portion, pray this prayer with me right now from your heart. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for your great love for me. Thank you that you sent Christ to die for my sins and you raised him from the dead for my justification. I believe all my sins, past, present, future, have all been remitted by the blood of Christ. You have been glorified by the death of your Son. Your heart is wide open to receive me. I come, Father, and I confess Jesus Christ is my Lord, my Savior. And I believe I am now the righteousness of God in Christ. Thank you, Father. I'm greatly blessed, highly favored. I'm deeply loved. I'm your beloved. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Stand to your feet and congratulations. If you prayed that prayer just now, even those of you who are in GRC, amen. If you prayed that prayer, you are now a child of God. In an instant, it's not a process to be a child of God. In an instant, in one fell swoop, God's Spirit has made you a brand new creation in Christ. Amen. I want to pray for you right now that this coming week, don't take things for granted. You know, a lot of people, they think that, you know, I'm still young, I'm this and all that. Don't depend on the flesh, which means don't depend on the natural. Depend on God's supernatural help. Amen. Acknowledge the presence of angels. Don't talk to them, all right? Talk to God. Amen. I know that I opened a Pandora box and someone said, Pastor Pring, you can command your angel to do this and that. Be careful about that. God wants you to focus on Jesus, not angels. But angels are with you. They love it when you focus on Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit has come not to focus on Himself, to glorify Jesus. He loves it when you focus on Jesus. Okay? Praise the Lord. This coming week, the Lord bless you with the blessings of Abraham and the blessings of Deuteronomy 28. The Lord has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. The Lord Himself keep you and your loved ones from all evil throughout this week. The Lord guard and protect you and your loved ones from terror, from fear, from stress, from oppression, from every strain of virus, from every disease, and the Lord keep you in health. I pray for you that you prosper in all things. And I pray for you and your loved ones that you be in health even as your souls prosper. The Lord lift up His countenance on every one of you, smile on you, grant you supernatural favor in abundance, and grant you peace, shalom, peace. In Jesus' name, and all the people said, amen. God bless you. Thanks for being here.
If you have just prayed the prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to welcome you to a new life filled with the goodness and abundant grace of Jesus. To help you begin this journey, we would like to bless you with an ebook titled The One Thing, 31-Day Devotional by Pastor Joseph Prince. Receive daily bite-sized inspirations of the favor, healing, and provision that God has for you. Simply log on to josephprince.org/salvation and download your free copy today. Get ready to experience the amazing love of God.
You know, God wants your heart to be at rest. When you let go a situation to God, the world will shout, irresponsible. The devil will scream, you are being lazy. You're not being accountable. But when you let go of a situation, God takes over. And let me tell you this, that hand of God Almighty is bigger than your hand.
This month, for your gift of any amount, we would like to give you Joseph's brand new book, Supply Greater Than Demand. Discover Bible truths about God's constant provision and how you can freely receive it because of Jesus' finished work on the cross. And for your gift of $75 or more, you will also receive this specially selected collection of resources.
Friend, your gift helps us to continue advancing the gospel of grace, transforming precious lives through Jesus-centered programs like this one. Together, we can make a real difference to those who need it most. Request these inspiring resources today. Visit us at josephprince.org or call us toll-free at 877-901-4300.
Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501(c)(3) nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.